Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And my name is Christian Sager. What's your preferred melee weapon in combat?
Ooh, well, if I'm just around the house, I guess it would be to grab like a stick or something. So I would be falling into like pole fighting stance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a glaive fan.
Yeah.
I like glaives. I don't own one. I probably should get on that. But, today's episode is about a very strange melee weapon. One that humans don't wield yet. There's still time.
Yeah.
But, that apparently crabs not only use tools, but use weapons, and they're alive.
Yeah. The idea of crabs, specifically, varieties of, that are known as boxing crabs or pom-pom crabs, that not only are they tool users, but they will grab a sea anemone, particular types of sea anemones, and wield them as weapons, hold them like little cudgels, showing them off, letting everybody know that they're armed to the teeth, using them to hunt food, using them to defend themselves, like little bioweapons, stinging clubs that are alive, that they have this mutualistic relationship with.
It's pretty clever. Yeah, I posted a chart from one of those studies we're going to talk about today to our Facebook and Twitter feeds and asked people, said, hey, this is a hint as to what we're studying. And most people said they thought it was crab cheerleading, which is about right since they're called the pom-pom crab.
Well, they are making a show of things here, and they do look like pom-poms to many people. But I think I think nunchucks would be a more appropriate scenario.
If your nunchuck was alive and it could bite people.
Yeah. Like, really, to get into parallels to this, we really have to look to science fiction and fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think we see some wonderful examples of one fictional species using another fictional species or using some sort of living weapon to defend themselves or to attack their adversaries. So one example that comes to my mind are the Tyranids of the Warhammer 40,000 universe.
Okay. I'm unfamiliar with this.
Well, if you're familiar with aliens or basically any property that has a biological hive mind species,
okay,
then you basically have the gist of the Tyranids.
Okay. Okay.
So they come from another galaxy. They're all flesh. Their spaceships are flesh. And they also have all these various forms, different morphological variants of the Tyranids, depending on, you know, basically every level of an infantry army that you would have in your tabletop game.
Okay.
But they utilize a number of what are called weapon biomorphs to gun down their adversaries. So these are living weapons, living things that include bioplasma cannons. And another example would be the Impaler cannon that fires bony spines that are as long as a man.
Doesn't Halo have something like that? The Needler?
Probably.
Maybe the Needler isn't alive, though.
Like, I feel like there's some version of this in most science fiction properties. Like the necromorphs in Dead Space are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You have, of course, the creatures in the novel and subsequent film Starship Troopers.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Again, aliens. Anytime there is an all-flesh adversary, you encounter this type of thing. And sometimes they have spaceships and weapons.
The one that comes to mind for me, and I'm not a big expert on this, Our colleague Holly Fry might destroy me if I pronounce this wrong, but there's in the expanded non-canonical Star Wars universe, there's this species called, I think it's the Yuuzhan Vong. Mm-hmm. I've only read it. And they utilize biotechnology for everything, including their weapons and armor and ships. So all their stuff is alive. They actually have like total disdain for any kind of mechanical technology.
Yeah, these guys had, I remember seeing lots of art depicting these guys, and they're kind of like white skinned Klingon type creatures.
And they wore like chitin for armor, and their weapons were like similar to the race you were just describing, like sort of bioplasma and stuff like that.
They're really cool looking. I always love the idea of them.
Yeah. And you've got here Labyrinth. I forgot about this.
So there's a wonderful moment in Jim Henson's Labyrinth where you have some of the goblins that are tormenting Ludo.
Yeah.
And if you remember, they're running around, they have these long poles, these long sticks, and on the end, they have these biting creatures that look kind of like an embryonic chicken. Like they look of blind, and they have enormous teeth in their little mouth, and they just go, and they'll take the stick with the biter on it and hold it up to Ludo so that they could bite him.
Yeah.
And this really reminds me a lot of the crab scenario we're talking about here, where one little creature is using another little creature as a cudgel, as a melee weapon against another being.
Every time Labyrinth comes up or I rewatch it, I always think to myself, like, no, like, you would want to stay there and hang out with the goblins and David Bowie. Like, that is way more fun than running away. I don't know why. I don't know. Like, if I was the baby, I would want to stay. If I was, what's her face? Sarah? Is that the name of the character?
What region of the Labyrinth would you like to put down roots in?
Oh, just the dance party one. The dance magic dance one, of course. But this also reminded me of two comic books, which I brought in and I let you borrow. James Stokoe does a book called Orcstain, and Brandon Graham used to do a book called King City. And these guys are buddies, actually, so it makes sense that both their sort of fantasy worlds would involve using animals as weapons. In King City, cats are used as weapons, and I think they're like called cat masters or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And if you're trained in such a way, you have a cat that's like your familiar, and you can use it as a weapon. And it works together with you. So these people like use them as melee weapons, or they throw them up in the air and the cat like throws shurikens or something, or shurikens, sorry. What's the other thing? Like sometimes the cat can like bend its tail to pick locks and stuff like that.
Wow.
So there's that. But in Orcstain, it's very much like what we're going to talk about today, where they have actual living, but more like kind of anemone type things that function as weapons. Like their axes have like eyes and mouths, or like there's a specific creature that's called the Zazu that one person wears as like a cloak. Uh-huh. And it has eyeballs, and like you can just take Zazu off and throw it at people and it'll attack them.
I glanced at this book, and I think I'll probably give it a read. It has a very visceral art style. Like it looks like it's just like nonstop blood and perhaps like orc scrotums. Right up in your face.
Orc scrotum and genitalia are very important to Orcstain. In fact, their entire economy revolves around dried and cut up orc reproductive organs.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. All right.
Yeah, it's fascinating. They're called chits. But it also, last one, do you remember Cronenberg's Existence? Did you ever watch that movie?
Yes, I do remember.
There's
this
that scene where Jude Law is like eating soup and he just keeps pulling organic pieces out of the soup and like gnawing on them a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then like putting them all together until he has a gun that's made out of the organic, like, it, I don't know what it's supposed to be, like an amphibian or a fish or something.
Yeah.
And then for bullets, he yanks his teeth out of his mouth and he slots those into this gun thing.
I forgot about that part of it.
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah. So those are just a few of our examples of what's going on with the boxer crab.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will get into the boxer crab, this fabulous real world organism that employs some of these ideas about how to weaponize your fellow creature. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. So we're back. And yeah, we have this genus of small crabs known as Libia, L-Y-B-I-A. And this is in the family Xanthidae. So again, you might know them as boxer crabs, boxing crabs, pom-pom crabs. These are small little guys. They tend to be, you know, barely 2 centimeters wide. And there are several different varieties of them, some of which are very popular in aquariums. So some of you listening out there right now might be in a room with a boxer crab. And yes, we do want to hear your take on everything involved here.
And for the purposes of the research that we're looking at today, I'm pretty sure most of these specific specimens were drawn somewhere near Israel, right?
Yeah, in particular, the ones that were looked at in these studies were from the south shore of the Red Sea in Eilat, okay. Israel. So there are a few different varieties. This is the one that that we're going to be talking about more today. And this one in particular is interesting because from the pictures I looked at, it has a skin that looks like tempura, or the texture on the shell looks like tempura. So they look delicious. They already look like they've been fried. They've been battered and fried for your eating pleasure.
Before you even get to them, they look like they're ready to eat. Yeah.
And they're small, but they have these little sea anemones. Now, the big question, and one that we're going to talk about, especially in the second study, is where do they get them? Where do they come from? How does the crab go about obtaining little sea anemones to run around with and use as weapons, to use as a means to feed? We'll get into that. It's important to drive home here for everyone that sea anemones are predatory animals of the order Actinuria. So they may look like weirdly animated flowers. The name even alludes to terrestrial flowers, but they are not plants. They are predatory animals. So you have a predator utilizing predators as tools
here. And I think they're sometimes referred to as bonsais, right? Because the idea is that the crabs cultivate them the same way people cultivate bonsai trees.
Now, I do want to note, too, that the boxer crab isn't the only crab to have a mutualistic relationship with sea anemones. Certain larger hermit crabs tend to have one or two on their shell, which benefit from the crab's table scraps. So the crab's tearing apart some sort of organism that it's found and it's eating them. Some of that drifts back and the sea anemones get to feast. And then the sea anemones serve as protection for the crab. So this hermit crab would be kind of like one of these World War I tanks. We have a couple of cannons on the side.
Yeah.
The sea anemones are its cannons. They're providing support. And both organisms benefit from this relationship. But yes, you mentioned the bonsai tree.
Yeah.
So this is studied in particular by these two Bar Ilan University graduate students in Israel. There's Yisrael Schneitzer and Yaniv Geman. And they have conducted at least 2 studies here that we're going to look at, where they've looked at this at a particular variety of boxing crab and tried to get down to exactly what they're doing, how they're working. So they previously worked on a 2013 study published in the Journal of Experimental Marine Biology and Ecology. And here they revealed the boxer crab's bonsai-like treatment of their bioweapons.
Yeah.
So they use them to catch food and defend themselves, but they also essentially starve the anemone or regulate their diet enough to keep them a small size.
Yeah, this alone is fascinating, but it gets even weirder. Okay, so the study identifies that boxer crabs, they not only commit what's referred to as kleptoparasitism to steal food from these anemones, but they also regulate the anemone's size through this process. So if you take the anemone away from the boxer crab and it's allowed to grow, they have a totally different morphology, color, and size. In fact, they grow up to 250% larger in size. They're actually larger than the crabs at that point, from which they're taken. So these crabs are just like basically keeping these like poor starved anemones, but using them as weapons in a sort of clever way. The free anemones that were studied consume 8 times more food than their captive counterparts. So I think it's safe to assume that the crabs are scarfing most of that stuff down. Now, kleptoparasitism, this happens in all different kinds of animals. We see it in birds and fish, mammals, a wide range of invertebrates. I mean, technically, this is what we're doing when we take milk from cows, right? Like, it gets back to our episode on butter. We're stealing the food source from another animal. But in the animal kingdom, it's more advantageous than foraging or predation. And so you find this in some snails and some spiders. It's a practice that's known to affect the growth of the hosts that they're stealing from. The closest example that these researchers cite in their study, there's a type of snail called the Trichotropus cancellata that eats the food of a worm host, and they steal up to 100% of its food. So presumably these worms die from starvation, I guess. Mm-hmm. The other one is the orb-weaving spider, which is Nephilia plumipes, and that steals 55% of its food from another spider called the Argyrodes antipodianus spider.
You know, there's also the human equivalent of stealing part of a lion's kill I believe is still practiced among, like, you know, very one or two tribes in Africa. But this having been, this would have been like an older practice where if you wanted to get the meat of a kill, well, all you have to do is have the bravery and or desperation to run in after lions have made their kill, cut away some of the meat and get out of there before the lions can really regroup.
That sounds a bit like scavenging. Mm-hmm. I wonder like how close scavenging falls under kleptoparasitism.
Well,
like when a vulture eats like a, mm-hmm. I don't know, roadkill.
Well, yeah, I think the thing is with all these different modes of obtaining sustenance, you do see that gray area where one meets the other. Like where symbiote meets parasite.
Yeah.
You know, there's often that gray area, for instance, I think we've talked about this before, when you have certain birds that are feeding on ticks mm-hmm. on an animal, like at what point then is it not, you're eating the tick that has the blood of the animal. And then in some cases, you cross that line and you're actually drinking the blood from the animal.
Yeah.
So you're in close proximity to this other mode of behavior.
It's interesting, but we should make no mistake about these anemones. They're not parasites that are living off of the crabs. The crabs are using them symbiotically, and they specifically do it to release the toxin nematocysts that are part of the anemones. They use these as a living deterrent for predators, as well as a tool for obtaining food. So we often talk about like, oh, tool use among animals. That's like a really significant thing, right? Mm-hmm. That we humans are one of the few that actually use tools. But these crabs are using other living beings as tools. When the anemone itself is presented with food, the crab literally robs it from the anemone's mouth. But what does the anemone get out of all of this? Well, it actually gets access to oxygen and it's transported around to more food sources. So it is slightly beneficial.
Yeah, the crab is kind of a mobile platform for the anemone.
Subsequently, the anemone has no resemblance to its free living form. That's the fascinating thing. Now, the crab's claws, this is crazy too. The crabs don't have what we think of as normally functioning claws. They're totally ill-suited for defense. So they're not like pincers, right? Mm-hmm. They've evolved so that they're mainly used for holding these anemones. And there's no known instances of these crabs without a pair of anemones in their claws in nature. We're going to get to it in a minute, what happens when you take them away. As part of this study, the researchers used a control group of starved anemones to see how much nutrition the anemones themselves were deriving in turn from algae that's on them that they're using symbiotically, possibly through photosynthesis. So think of it this way, like the algae is getting energy from photosynthesis, and then the anemone is taking energy away from these algae, and then the crabs are holding on to the anemone, and they're using them to gather up bits of food. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It is also noted in this first paper, the crabs use the anemones in what they call a mopping action. And this is how they gather food. So they basically kind of swing them around and mop up food in the sticky tendrils of the anemones. And then they let them grasp it, and then they bring the anemone up to their mouth and they remove it themselves. The anemones are also used as a weapon, and it's mainly to deflect attacks. So hence, crab boxing.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into this second study that was conducted by this pair of Israeli researchers. And it's going to get into the idea that they're not only using weapons, they're using clone weapons.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
All right, so we're back. So that was the first study. The latest study to come out from Schnitzer and Geeman came out just this week.
Yeah, and we should say, as we're recording this, Robert has just published an article on How Stuff Works about this very topic. This podcast is our extension of that. So yeah. If you want to read it, we can go find it there. It will obviously be in our show notes, but also we're going to embed the podcast in that article.
Yeah, the article didn't allow us to do like 15 minutes of talk about Tyranids and
exactly.
So Schnitzer and Geeman had some basic questions about this. And this new study that's published in the journal PeerJ looks into specifically where do they get these sea anemones?
Yeah.
And how do they, what happens if they're missing one? So this is what they did. They went back, they went out to the Red Sea again, this area in Eilat, Israel, and they identified the weaponized anemones of this particular variety of boxer crab as belonging to the genus Alicia. And this was likely a newly recorded species of anemone. So bonus there. But when they looked around for wild examples of Alicia sea anemone, nothing turned up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to say that this is not the situation with all varieties of boxer crabs. There are other species that have been shown to utilize anemones that also exist in a wild state. Since they, in this experiment, since they couldn't find any wild examples, it did raise some interesting questions.
Yeah.
Are there wild anemones anymore? Is it possible that, and these are the two sort of outside possibilities here that the researchers present. One possibility being that these things are extinct in the wild.
Right.
That these crabs have been passing them back and forth so long that they are only available on crabs.
Yeah, they've basically just completely enslaved this race of anemones.
Yeah, and the other idea is that they do exist, but they exist far away, and there was like a grandfather crab that brought these things into the area. And so in this area of the Red Sea, the anemone only exists in an enslaved state. Now, this gets down to the question, well, you're saying, well, it's not like they... How would they pass them back and forth? If you're a crab without a sea anemone, how do you even get one to begin with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my big question, is like, how do newborn crabs get their anemones, right?
Yeah.
Like, if they're nowhere to be found except for with these other crabs, how do they get them?
Well, I would ask you this counter question. What does Bruce Lee do when he has no weapons and a bunch of nunchuck armed individuals are attacking him?
Well, first he breaks a chair, mm-hmm. and then he uses that chair to beat them up, and then he takes their nunchucks.
Exactly. And that's what happens here. They take the nunchucks. So Schnitzer and Giemann discovered in a pair of experiments that if you have a one-weapon boxer crab, okay, so this boxer crab only has the one anemone, what mm-hmm. they'll do is they will split it into two pieces. And these two remaining fragments will then regenerate over a couple of days into two distinct clones.
Yeah.
And if they have no anemones at all, then they will go and wrestle with another boxer crab and steal one of theirs. And then each one is left with one, and they do the splitting maneuver, and then they each have two.
So maybe it's like a rite of passage. the article itself says it's presumed that they acquire them sometime after their larval stage. I don't know if it's like... You know, like a daddy crab hands his child crab like one of his anemones and then rips it in half, right? I don't think that's what happens. It sounds like once you pass the larval stage, you got to go find somebody to fight and take one of their anemones.
It's interesting. This reminds me of some studies that have looked into the economics of hermit crabs in their shells. To remind everyone, a hermit crab, of course, lives in the shell of another creature. But as a hermit crab grows, it has to abandon ill-fitting shells and acquire new shells.
Right. Yeah.
And some researchers have done like really fascinating economic spins on this that tie up nicely with human economics, particularly as it relates to home ownership. And you see a similar thing with crabs abandoning, stealing shells, this constant musical chairs. So I wonder if there's a similar scenario going on here with this constant tussle among the crabs for their weapons. And then, of course, they're using these weapons to defend themselves and acquire food.
Well, this is specifically crazy because when the scientists analyzed the pair of anemones for any given crab, they found that they're genetically identical. So they are literal clones. This is an attack of the clones in the purest sense, even when they've been ripped in half. And this is unique in that one animal is inducing asexual reproduction in another animal, and that's affecting its genetic diversity.
Yeah.
So that could be why we're not finding these anemones in the wild either.
That's right. Now, I had to reach out to Schnitzer on this one because it was just too fascinating a question. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't jumping to conclusions, as sometimes one does. And I said, well, does this mean they might be extinct in the wild?
Yeah.
And he said, yes, there's one outside possibility. And then there's the founding father crab outside possibility. But he told me the following. He said, quote, bottom line, my guess is they exist, but are probably very rare. I think this because one of the findings in our current paper was that every crab found in the wild is holding clones, supporting the theft and splitting behavior we saw in the lab, and that there are a very limited number of halotypes, especially with genetic fingerprinting analysis, thus giving credence to the assumption that most of the anemone reproduction going on is asexual from the crabs splitting them in half, but not all of it.
Yeah, this is important to note. So these sea anemones in general, well, just sea anemones, not these specific ones, in general, they can reproduce either sexually or asexually. And in the asexual cases, it can be through budding, it can be through fission, it can be through something called petal laceration or something called apop myctic parthenogenesis. Okay. Ooh. So there's all kinds of ways that these things can reproduce. But in this case, it's forced. They're being forced to reproduce. When this team analyzed the anemone's genetics, they used something called amplified fragment length polymorphism, or AFLP for short. Mm-hmm. And this is an efficient, fast, and low-cost DNA fingerprinting method. So that's how they figured out, oh, wow, these are all clones, right? This is what I immediately thought of. You remember our Hydra episode?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if it's a similar kind of thing. Because the Hydra was sort of splitting itself as well.
Yeah, and the Hydra is also a creature that can reproduce sexually or asexually,
right,
depending on what the environmental constraints are.
But no one's coming along and holding on to a Hydra for its entire life and then saying, you know what, I need another one of you. Shrimp.
It is such a crazy scenario, the idea that this creature exists, it lives its life in the claw of another creature, in the hand of another creature. It's like King Kong holding Jessica Lange.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if King Kong could say, actually, I need two Jessica Langs, and he just rips,
he rips Jessica Lange in half. And then he uses Jessica Lange to hit planes.
To hit planes and beat Godzilla with.
Yeah.
I like it. Huh. Now, I know what some of you might be wondering. Well, this idea of one creature just enslaving another to the point that it goes extinct in the wild, do we see any examples of that happening elsewhere? Well, I mean, certainly you can look at some human varieties, you know, animals that we've completely domesticated, be it a cow or even like a silkworm.
Right.
But one of the more curious examples we see in the animal world, in the invertebrate world as well, is that of various leaf cutter ant species in the Americas. So they cut leaves and drag them to an underground growth chamber. They keep it moist enough there to cultivate fungi on the leaves. And this is a fascinating process. I'm not going to walk you through every step of it, but essentially they have a little farm down there to grow this fungus. And the ants themselves gave up hunting and gathering 50 million years ago, everyone believes, for them to, so they could become farmers, essentially. But this, this precious fungus crop that they grow is, apparently a million years extinct in the natural world. They've completely domesticated.
Wow.
So this would be an actual example, mm-hmm, of an invertebrate species that's taken, another species as its own,
mm-hmm,
and in doing so completely domesticated it. Now, granted, in this scenario, the ants are eating the creature that they have domesticated.
Yeah.
The boxing crab, it's even more elaborate because they're not eating the sea anemones.
Right.
They're using them as weapons.
I wonder if it's like they think of, this is silly, this is like some Disney animation movie thinking right here. They're like, the crab like thinks of its anemones as like its pets and gives them little names. This is
Thrashy and Bashy.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I would like to see that Little Mermaid character. If we had,
yeah, that'd be great. Sebastian
the crab, except he's a boxing crab.
Well, like, you know, the thing is that they're not the only crabs that use anemones like, mm-hmm, this. But these associations, almost always, it's a smaller crab and they're using larger anemones. But in this case, that's why they're called pom-poms, because, mm-hmm, they're smaller. And it's specifically because this crab is stealing all the food away from these anemones.
Yeah, it's a fantastic example of mutualism. Mutualism is a term that was first introduced in 1876, by the way, from Pierre-Joseph van Beneden. And, again, the crazy thing is that we have many examples of mutualism, but most of them are significantly less hands-on or claws-on.
Literally. Yeah.
That's what we encounter here.
Well, the crabs themselves, like if you take their anemones away from them, they can still eat, mm-hmm, but they don't use their little baby claws because they're too delicate. What they do is they use their walking legs.
Huh.
And they start with their first walking legs and they use them to like pin things down and kind of bring it up to their mouths. Sometimes they end up using their second and third walking legs. During this study, they also found that following the theft of a sea anemone or an attempt, the fight between the different crabs was followed by mating if they were different sex.
Huh.
So if there was a male and a female crab and one of them took the other one's sea anemone, then they had sex.
Wow. It's even more like an 80s action film
now. Yeah. It's so bizarre. So when they did this study, they had to break them up by gender because they were like, we can't figure out what actually happens. We've got to have the males fight the males and the females fight the females. And they did. They also found that 17 out of 22 crabs with only one anemone will split it within 6 days. So they don't wait around. They need two. They have they're dual weapon fighters.
That's right. Their entire martial art is built upon having a double attack.
Yeah, and it's referred to, the splitting is referred to as a surgical tear. And it lasts between 1 minute and 2 hours. The average time is 20 minutes, but they very precisely take the anemone and just slowly rip it in half. And then they've got two. and what's really interesting is when the crabs fight over the anemones, sometimes little fragments will get stolen. Like maybe a crab will lose, but it's got like a chunk of anemone in its claw. That does not result in splitting or cloning. So they have to very specifically tear these anemones in half. You can't just take a chunk of anemone and it grows into another anemone.
That really, it sheds more light on it because it, in the same way that their claws have evolved just for the specific handling of these specimens, then they've also clearly evolved to conduct this specialized surgery.
Yeah.
That it's not just rip a piece off of this and use it as a weapon, but yeah. You have to rip it just right.
How do you learn that? is it a sense memory or is it daddy crab? Okay. So again, I'm going with like the Disney version of this, right? There's like the daddy crab and he's got his two and he's like, okay, it's time for you to learn how the style of crab boxing. And like he takes one of his anemones, gives it to his younger crab, and then teaches him very slowly how to rip them in half so that they both have two. It's strange.
Yeah, I guess it's the dark gift of strange crab guys.
And then what do you name the clones?
Thrashy and Bashy. I think that's the
Thrashy
answer.
Two and Bashy Two.
Yeah. Yeah, each one, as you split them off, they get a different number. Well, I think it's one of the more, we get press releases all the time about various cool biological scenarios that that researchers are studying, and this one really caught my attention.
Yeah.
Just because it's just a little different from everything else. So I was originally just going to write it up for now, and then I thought, well, I think this is Stuff to Blow Your Mind worthy content here.
Certainly, yeah. Now I want to see a crab wield a hydra. they use like various animals as the different fighting styles.
Bring a hydra to an enemy fight.
Right, yeah. Exactly. There you go.
Now, as we mentioned earlier, these are popular aquarium crabs. So I know some of you out there have some boxing crabs.
Yeah.
So I would love to hear your thoughts on their behavior. When you get them at the pet store or through the mail, do they come with little sea anemones or do you end up raising them sans anemone?
Huh.
I would love to hear about that.
Yeah. I wonder if they get like depressed if they don't have the anemone because they have to use their legs to eat everything.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen a depressed crab.
Well,
or tasted one.
More research is required.
I actually let my son watch the video that came with the press release.
Oh yeah.
He got super excited about it. So he keeps talking about, I think we need to get boxing crabs for our aquarium.
Oh,
we do not have a saltwater aquarium.
I wonder if they'll fight each other. Well, it depends on if you take their anemone away.
Yeah. Yeah. Or if they're male female, right?
Huh. There you go.
So hey, let us know if you were out there, if you were a boxing crab owner. We would love to hear your thoughts on this. You can find this podcast, all the other podcasts, links out to some of the material we discussed here at stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you'll find the podcast, the blog, the videos, and links out to our various social media accounts.
And maybe you know about some other bioweapons that are used in the natural animal kingdom that we're unaware of. Let us know about those on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, or Instagram, or you can write to us about them at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.